And now, Talk Radio 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with your hosts Richard Musio and Joe Vecchio. Now, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, and good evening. Welcome to It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer for the show. And we're having a beautiful 70, 72 degrees in San Diego, Southern California. And we're being heard in Orange County, L.A. County, San Diego County, up to San Luis Obispo and beyond, out to the desert, Riverside County. So welcome and good evening. We're going to have a great show tonight, and I'd like to introduce the main man of the hour, CPA and family office guy and renowned advisor, Richard Musio. Good evening, Richard. How are you?
Good evening, Joe. I'm doing a lot better than Kyle Stanley.
Now, you want to explain who he is? Or?
Well, he was the golfer who had a three-stroke lead going on to the 18th hole of Torrey Pines and shot an 8 on a par 5 to get into a playoff, which he promptly lost on the second playoff hole.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well,
ouch.
You know, hey, how about that Australian Open, which went live on ESPN2 at midnight last night, which was 5 p.m. local time in Melbourne, Australia. The finals between Djokovic and Nadal. Did you watch any of that?
Actually, it started an hour late because of the rain. I got up at 4:30, hoping it was still on. It was. I picked it up right at the start of the fourth set.
Yes.
Which Nadal stole from Djokovic to make it 2-2. Djokovic was serving 5-3 in the fourth set tiebreaker to win it and lost 4 straight points.
Right.
But it looked like he was finished in the fifth set because Nadal broke to go up 4-2 and was serving, and Djokovic literally couldn't walk.
Right.
I mean, his legs were wobbling, but Nadal missed a backhand by about a half an inch.
Yeah.
He got the break, Djokovic, and then rolled 5 games out of 6 to win it 7-5 in the fifth. 5 hours and 53 minutes of tennis.
The longest Grand Slam men's singles, I think a Grand Slam period finals ever.
Longest Grand Slam finals ever in the history of the Open era of
And of course,
tennis.
Djokovic just on Friday played a 5-hour match, so I don't know how he's going to get out of
it. He's beaten Nadal 7 times in a row, so he's got his number.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm kind of thinking. We're in the lull between the playoffs. Here next week is Super Bowl Sunday. I kind of think Eli has Brady's number, but I guess we'll see, huh?
He's 1-0. We'll see. Nobody's going to watch that game because they'll be listening to us instead.
Well, that game should just be winding up by the time we go on, so we'll do our little post-mortem.
Pray for no overtime, yeah. Joe.
But tonight we have a really fantastic show, and would you like to introduce our special guest tonight?
We have Dan McAllister, who's having problems with his headphones, and in addition to that... Yeah, I call him the San Diego County Tax Collector. He's also the treasurer of San Diego County.
Well, let's call him the treasurer first. A little more prestigious.
It is. But when I write my check, I write San Diego County Tax Collector.
And believe me, I know the difference when I hear the introductions. I can hear a noticeable sigh of approval when I'm introduced as the treasurer and a decline in that approval when I'm introduced as the tax collector.
That would make some sense.
Anyway,
Dan and I go back a long ways because 10 years ago when his son Patrick was in fifth grade and my son Evan was in fifth grade, they were on the same Little League baseball team, of which I was the coach or manager.
Huh.
And Patrick, he's at the Naval Academy now, right, Dan?
Yes, he is. Second year.
Second year, and he's 6'5" tall. And I think in fifth grade he was at least 6 feet tall. He was the tallest kid in Little League.
Was he a pitcher? He must have been a pitcher, huh?
No, he was a first baseman. And when the shortstop fielded a grounder, he just reached across the infield and handed it to Patrick.
It was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing to watch.
How was the season that year? No,
it was pretty cool. So my Little League teams are always funny because I would always play the kids who didn't know how to play baseball well equally with the kids who were really good because I wanted to help the kids who weren't very good get to be better baseball players and to have fun and be great teammates. So every year we just sort of break even. I think we were 8-12 in the regular season. Then we swept through the playoffs and went to Coast Cities because by the end of the year, all of my kids who weren't very good became pretty good players because I actually taught them how to play baseball. And all the other teams, for whatever reason, they would put their lousy players out in right field. And by the time you got to the playoffs, that wasn't a good thing for them.
Well, that's good. You made it a learning experience.
So it was a lot of fun. We had my kids loved it because we never ran. We would all the other teams would do laps. We would play two-hand touch football to do running, and the kids didn't know they were running. But the best thing was we carried around big vats of bubble gum. So the dentist in Del Mar and Solana Beach really loved our team.
Patrick had a great time.
Good to know.
But let's get into Dan's background. This is a little bit of a homecoming for him here tonight because he did have a little career here at KFMB in the A's and Why don't we, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your whole background and a little thumbnail sketch on your bio.
Well, sure. Born and raised in San Diego, second generation San Diego.
What
My
part?
Parents grew up out at the beach area and went to La Jolla High. I went to Mission Bay High.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm privileged to have my kids growing up in San Diego. And it's just a superb place to raise kids. There's no question about that.
Did Frank Zappa go to Mission Bay High?
That's what I hear. Okay. That's the longstanding rumor. Not in my class.
We still don't know.
I think he predated me.
Okay.
But nevertheless.
All right, I didn't mean to interrupt.
We had a more serious class than that. But nevertheless, I had come back from a stint in the Peace Corps. I worked in the Peace Corps after my undergraduate work in Micronesia in the Western Pacific, kind of a developing third world country, but still part of the U.S. system, the trust territory of the
Did you go to undergrad United in San Diego, too?
Or? No, Fresno State, undergrad.
Okay.
And then came back here and ended up at KFMB selling airtime, sort of the WKRP era, you know, and times have changed a lot. But I will tell you that there was a lot of that that permeated the environment at the time. At the time, I think we carried the Padres. We were the preeminent station in all of
Hudson
San Diego.
Hudson and Bauer, Bill Balance, all of those
and
legends.
It was terrific. It was a treat because at the time, remember, B100 was in its heyday. The Rich Brothers were on the morning show. We had just a tremendous amount of fun selling both stations.
Yeah.
And it was pretty lucrative in those days because we had such a dominant market share. But during that time, I ended up going back to grad school, getting my MBA here in San Diego. And that's what really kind of caused me to branch out more and do more things. And after my radio days ended, I ended up as a stockbroker in La Jolla. I think I told you this before. My parents were extremely proud because their son finally landed on Wall Street, and it was a two-block street in La Jolla called Wall Street. So it was fun.
The West Coast version.
Yes.
Great. Great.
But how does that lead you into being the San Diego County tax collector?
Or treasurer.
I know.
It was interesting. I think in the late 90s, Paul Bolin had retired.
He had a long run, about 16 years, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did. And someone had replaced him who had worked for him and ran into some difficulties. And it was at that juncture that some of us locally had started to say, you know, maybe we should look to see if we can't find somebody to support to run for this seat. We all agreed after kind of a brainstorming session at Hobnob Restaurant one morning to go out and try to find somebody. I was back at the brokerage firm one afternoon, and by then Richard's influence had influenced me into coaching. So I was coaching, and I was spending a lot of off-market hour times with the kids, coaching them, my daughter and my son. And that really meant a lot to me, in addition to volunteering with community organizations and things that I've always done since coming back from the Peace Corps. And a guy gets a hold of me, and he says, get your calendar out. We found somebody to run. And I said, you know, I'm looking through these dates, and there's just no way I can make it. I said, it's not important for me to be there because you guys are smart guys. I said, just let me know how I can help. We'll raise them money. We'll help support them. He said, well, you don't understand. You're the guy we identified to run for the seat. So that's really the straight and low down about how it started. But I think the more we explored, the more I talked to people out in the county, the more I could see there was a thirst for having some leadership in an office that had had fallen on somewhat of a hard time. And
so what year was that when you?
That was probably 98, 99,
okay.
2000.
Okay.
The election, of course, was 2002. Okay. I ended up getting about 60% of the vote in the general election.
Mm.
Got elected. Interestingly, a day or two later, I got a call from then Chairman Ron Roberts, who's now the new chair of the Board of Supervisors, asking if I might consider coming in early because the predecessor had just abruptly resigned and retired from the county. So after divesting myself of a partnership and work at the firm that I worked for, I was able to make that transition and come on board about a month and a little more early and get started. And we've just had a great time. This is the third term, my third term. It's the 10th year that I've been there.
Was it a two-year term?
They're four-year terms.
Four-year term? Okay.
Four-year terms. I was elected in 2002, again in 2006, and then in 2010.
Okay.
And I love this job. We are having so much fun. And as I said before we went on the air, this is a story about we, not me. Mm-hmm. I am successful because we have a great team. And we've been able to assemble a team of money managers, CPAs, people that do good work by instinct and mm-hmm. by education and training. Mm-hmm. And I have been able to hire the very best people I could find for some of those key positions mm-hmm. in that office. I have 125 employees. Our annual budget approaches $19 million a year. We have now 5 different locations throughout the county to serve the public. Have an office in Chula Vista, El Cajon, up here on Kearny Mesa, on Claremont Mesa Boulevard, San Marcos, and then, of course, the CAC building, the County Administration Center, mm-hmm. Which is ground zero downtown. Mm-hmm. And it is just a pleasure to serve the people of San Diego. Mm-hmm. I've had a great time. I've enjoyed the work a lot. The team at the county has been extremely good, and I think this Board of Supervisors deserves a lot of credit for their fiscal mm-hmm. Diligence also over mm-hmm. the years they've been in office to try to make sure that house stays in order, and that's good.
How do we compare with other counties, would you say, in Cal as far as our fiscal?
Well, I have a bias, but I think San Diego County is the best, and I think, again, I think the supervisors have done a masterful job of fiscal management and prudence. I think that we have a good team. Our CFO does an exceptional job for us. We all come together. If we do underwriting, bond issuances, as we do almost every year for certain kinds of things, my office, the CFO's office, we all pull together to make the best deals possible for the county and for the taxpayers.
Yeah. Boy, that first segment went quickly. We have to take a short break here, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money Not Theirs after this announcement.
Especially when I hear Ponderosa.
If I could, yeah. Sunday night, Bonanza.
That's right.
Follow Sean Hannity in 2012.
I don't mind the vetting, but some of it, when it becomes silly, I'm beginning to roll my eyes here. It's just inaccurate to say that these candidates are all bad. Actually, I've been thinking that all of them have gotten infinitely better. And in that sense, they've been served by the process. There's a huge amount that is going to hinge on this outcome. You know, we conservatives, you can't take your eye off Obama. It's his presidency that remains a grave threat to our republic.
Sean Hannity, tomorrow noon to 3. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Did you know that nearly one out of every two people over the age of 85 has some form of Alzheimer's or related dementia? Hi, it's Roger, and Alzheimer's disease has touched many families in San Diego, including ours. What families need more than anything is information and resources to provide help. One beneficial resource is the Active Care Living Town Hall Forum, now in its 8th year. This educational forum provides information free to family caregivers. You're invited to spend the morning with medical and industry experts specializing in memory care at the next Active Care Living Town Hall Forum on February 23rd. The topic is Alzheimer's Caregiving, the Team Approach. You'll learn how to assemble your caregiving team, when to seek out specialists, where to get help, and more. The Town Hall Forum will be held at the Lake San Marcos Resort in North County on Thursday, February 23rd, starting at 8:30 a.m. There's no charge to attend, but advanced reservations are requested. Please register online at activecareliving.com. That's activecareliving.com, or call Active Care Living at 888-MEMLOSS. That's 888-MEMLOSS.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-1992 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-1992, 1-800-500-1992, or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey, it's John from MojoPages.com. I'm sure you've seen the KFMB MojoPages Awards on the Channel 8 Sunday Evening News. Let me tell you a little about it. It's an awards program to recognize the best San Diego businesses, like dentists, restaurants, and plumbers. It's really easy to vote for your favorite business. Just head over to 760KFMB.com and click on the MojoPages Awards. Search for your favorite business and vote. It's that easy. Each week, we highlight a different category on the Channel 8 Evening News. So watch and see if the business you voted for made it to the top and won a KFMB Mojo Pages Award. Check Mojo, then go.
With today's technology, appliance repairs are darn complicated. Hi, I'm Perry Williams, owner of 1-800-Appliance. Did you know that Appliance Rescue is the only preferred servicer in San Diego for all the top brands? In fact, Whirlpool, Maytag, and the likes call us for their repairs, and you should too. Our technicians are 100% factory trained, so skip the middleman, call us direct, and you won't be overcharged. Service calls are always free with any repair.
Appliance Rescue will rescue you. Call 1-800-APPLIANCE.
Follow Mike Slater tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We're back. All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. Now back to Richard and Dan.
So, Dan, the county collects about $4.5 billion a year?
Correct. And it's a little bit up this year. We were a little below the last couple of years.
That was going to be my next question. The last 3 or 4 years, up, down, the same? I mean, because that's sort of a barometer as to how the economy's doing.
For the longest time, there was just a consistent move upward. And then 2 or 3 years ago, when the recession hit and the economy tanked, we saw just a tremendous upsurge in assessment appeals. In fact, I think 1 year, about 3 years ago, the assessor received 226,000, representing about 21% of our total taxable base.
I was going to say, because you guys assessed just under a million parcels, right?
It's about 978,000 this year.
So that's over 20%. Wow.
That's correct. It's just about 20% or so. And they granted 216,000. So inevitably, that meant less revenue coming in. First year, it was about a $50 million hit. Second year, was about a $48 million hit. This year, we're expecting... still being hit there.
Is that is that adding on?
No,
that's per year?
It's per year.
Okay.
So you can see we're about $100 million plus down, and it's going to take even longer to get back to just break even once the recession starts to go away. There, according to the assessor, has been some good movement. The CCPI that we spoke of a little while ago, the California Consumer Price Index, has been up this past year about 0.5%. So that will augur well for valuations in our region, and that means that there is a little bit of an increase in values countywide. There are still pockets, though, that have not seen too much of an upswing, and properties still stay on the market a long time.
Now, you mentioned this book that you brought with you about the auction. You want to talk about that a little
bit? Actually, can I ask you a question about the revenue first, then we'll talk about the book.
All right. Sure.
I hear a lot of talk about Prop 13. Some people say it's one of the worst things ever to hit California. You know, I heard some presentation last year at the City Club where the speaker said the five things he would fix in California, getting rid of Prop 13 was one of them. I don't know if it's true or not, because I heard that there's been tremendous turnover in real estate, at least here in San Diego County. Can you comment on that?
Of course. There are a couple of things that I think everybody should know. At least in my opinion, Prop 13 is one of the fairest, most equitable, level playing field kinds of rules ever passed in California. It's fair for everybody. And whether you have a lot of money and you buy a property, you pay 1% of your purchase price in taxes. If you don't have a lot of money and you buy a bare minimal type of house or condo or something, you still pay 1%. It's fair for everyone. What you were talking about, I think, is the turnover in the properties and the occupation of the properties. And less than 9% now of our total taxable base on the residential side are people who lived in their homes when Prop 13 was passed in 1978. So because of divorces, deaths, people moving to try to stay one step ahead of their kids moving home, whatever it is, there has been turnover. People move up, people move down as buyers, and they leave and vacate their homes.
So 9%, that's not even material.
Right.
Okay, that answers that. So, Joe, you were asking about
auction. Yes. Seems like there's, about 224 properties that you've got coming up on auction that you'd like to talk about?
Actually, the number just effectively in the last couple of days has been reduced by about 14 down to about 210.
Mm-hmm.
But every year we're tasked with the job of auctioning off properties where the owners have failed to pay their property taxes and fines and penalties for 5 years or longer. I think by most standards, 5 years is pretty excessive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to pay taxes, I still think 5 years is too long.
Mm-hmm.
I think in good times, there were instances where people actually gamed the system, where they would not pay taxes, thinking if they acquired a property, developed a property, they missed the payment once or twice, but they could flip it mm-hmm. within a five-year period. And we all know when it went through escrow, what's the first thing that would be paid? The taxes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it worked in an up market. Now that it's a down market, it doesn't work so well. And so what we have seen is an increase in the number of properties that we have to put on the market.
Mm-hmm.
The last few years, we've ended up, including timeshares, with about 150 properties per year, all totaled. So that includes raw land. That includes developed properties, commercial or residential, and timeshares. This year, though, for the first time ever, we've segregated out the timeshares, and we'll do a separate online auction in late April or May because we have found that to be a fairly effective way to sell off things. It's almost an eBay-like approach.
Yeah.
But for the properties that do have residences on them or commercial businesses or whether it's a Fallbrook avocado farm, whatever it is, we're going to start selling those properties on the 24th at about 8:30 in the morning.
And it's a Friday morning, yep, at the convention center. So if they want to know more, go to your website, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Which is
www.sdtrejtax.com.
Excellent. Okay.
And they can call our office, too. That's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
My office is 619-531-5231. And we're happy to help anybody who calls.
Great. Well, we got to take another break. Boys is flying by, but we'll be back right more after new sports weather and announcements with It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
We lead the conversation. Follow along. San Diego's talk radio leader, Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
Slater Crusaders, you've heard me talk about Newman replacement windows. If you're in the market for replacement windows or doors, you got to listen up. I'm here right now with the owner, Duncan Newman. Duncan, what is the Newman advantage?
We started this about 19 years ago, and I firmly felt that there was no service left in the construction industry. So my wife and I decided that we would start a company that would treat people like it was the 1950s again. My salespeople are told that when they walk up the driveway to a customer's house, if the newspaper's on the driveway, pick it up and hand it to the customer when you get to the front door as you're saying hello.
Duncan, that's awesome. How can Slater Crusaders experience this Newman advantage?
You can call us toll-free at 1-877-7-NEWMAN. You can look us up on the website at newmanwindows.com, or you can come to any of our showrooms. We have a new 10,000-square-foot showroom on Morena Boulevard at 1176 Morena Boulevard.
And Slater Crusaders get a free in-home estimate. Give them a call, 1-877-7-NEWMAN.
When choosing a treatment for cancer, experience counts. As the nation's first proton treatment center, Loma Linda University Medical Center pioneered the use of proton radiation for the treatment of prostate, lung, and brain cancers. We treat more patients than any other center of its kind in the world. Nearly a fourth of all proton therapy patients are treated at Loma Linda University Medical Center. Nearly 12,000 in all, over 1,000 last year. Unlike IMRT and tomotherapy, which use X-rays, protons can be controlled to start and stop in the body to deliver maximum radiation to the tumor. This increased precision leads to less radiation to surrounding healthy tissues. To learn more and receive your free informational DVD, visit protons.com or call 1-800-PROTONS. Loma Linda University Medical Center. Many strengths, one mission.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free Rosetta Stone demo. So what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo to try it for yourself.
Okay, but I've tried to learn a new language before, and it was always too hard.
Well, Rosetta Stone is a completely natural way to learn a new language, just like you learned your first language. No tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. It even comes in 30 languages. Oh, but there is one thing.
The catch, right?
You could start speaking a new language in less than 15 minutes.
Aha! Wait, did you say 15 minutes? To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now, 1-800-700-5902. Experience for yourself the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language guaranteed. For your free demo, call now, 1-800-700-5902. That's 1-800-700-5902.
High school seniors, the deadline to apply for a Salute to Education scholarship for college or vocational school is February 17th. Seniors attending San Diego County High Schools are eligible to apply. Each scholarship is $1,000, and one lucky scholarship recipient will win a new Ford vehicle. Applications are available from all San Diego County Ford dealers and on the web at salutetoeducation.com. For more information, call 619-521-2404.
Do you live in an older home? Then it's time to call Point Loma Electric, San Diego's older home electrical specialist since 1988. Owner Jim Dent and his team of expert electricians have earned their reputation for providing outstanding electrical service, quality workmanship, and fair upfront pricing. Point Loma Electric, your San Diego electrical contractor specializing in bringing older homes into the 21st century. So who are you going to call when the lights go out? Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672. That's 619-224-0672. Or visit pointlomaelectric.com.
We lead the conversation. Follow us, 760 KFMB.
A much leaner Marine Corps. I'm 760's Rick Williams, and here are the stories we're following. Right now, there's about 182,000 Marines in the Corps, and the Marine Corps Times is reporting they want to shed 20,000 troops. Now, that's a smaller Corps than the Commandant had wanted, but it's bigger than what analysts had expected. Seven U.S. Navy cruisers will be retired early under pending Pentagon spending cuts, but the Navy Times says the Navy's 11 aircraft carriers and 10 air wings will not be touched. That's good for us locally. International City Man is $1 million richer thanks to a $10 scratcher lottery ticket. He bought it at a 7-Eleven on East 9th Street. Score a touchdown of savings with 99 cents only stores. Get everything you need to make game day veggie platters. Broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, grape tomatoes, and football-shaped bowls are only 99.99 cents each. Save more. Shop 99 cents only stores first. KFMB weather, partly cloudy and 68 at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, the Aztecs lost to Colorado State 77-60 yesterday. They play Boise State Wednesday. Follow these stories and more at KFMB.com. Now here's the latest from ABC News.
Mitt Romney predicts he'll win the Florida primary. The latest poll has him 15 points ahead of Newt Gingrich. The former House Speaker said today the GOP will not nominate a pro-abortion, pro-gun control, pro-tax increase moderate from Massachusetts. Romney tells ABC News.
Speaker Gingrich's comments over the last few days have been sad and painfully revealing.
Romney says Gingrich is flailing about as he realizes he's in real trouble. Occupy Wall Street protesters are in the streets of New York tonight, showing solidarity with the Occupy Oakland camp. Hundreds of protesters were arrested last night in Oakland after clashing with police. A check of your blood pressure in each arm could help detect peripheral vascular disease. A new study shows if the readings are more than 10 points apart, you could have PVD, which can be deadly. At the Screen Actors Guild Awards tonight, the Ensemble Award went to The Help. That's essentially the Guild's Best Picture prize. I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow noon to 3.
The reason we conservatives are conservatives because we know it works.
Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
All right, we're back with some great Mission Impossible music. It's Your Money, Not Theirs. Before we begin, I just wanted to thank the folks at Kensington Video. We've got a real gem in San Diego County. Next to the Ken Cinema is a great video store. It's actually, they expanded, it's two stores in one. If they cannot find a film or a movie that you're looking for, whether it's out of print or whatever, then it just doesn't exist. So I just wanted to point that out and thank them for the help they've done given me. Now back to Richard and Dan.
So Dan, a question for you.
Sure.
You have under management, I don't mean you, but your department, your Group about $7 billion. Is that correct?
It hit $7.2 billion this year. That's okay. Correct.
And I was reading the, this is pretty neat because the city of San Diego should do this, but they don't. I was reading the December 31st, 2011 financial statements for the county, for their investment funds. And January is not even over yet. I'm not sure when the city's going to put out their year. Well, they're always about a year behind, but that's another story. But I noticed you guys have been rated AAA by Standard & Poor's now for going on 10 years because of how you invest money. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We take kind of a holistic approach and an inclusionary approach. We think it's helpful to have extra sets of eyes at the table with us. We don't believe that just our team is superior enough to do this alone. So we work very closely with Standard & Poor's every year. We speak with them on a weekly basis. They look at our numbers every month, and they come out here for a due diligence trip once a year to, again, kick the tires, make sure that we're not doing things that they would not see fit to put into a AAA rating or under that rating umbrella. They also started something that we have embraced, and that's managing by a matrix. And the matrix that they concocted, I think, was very, very special. It basically said, if you hold AAA-rated pieces of investment in your portfolio to the tune of about 76% of that portfolio, then don't do anything terribly radical with the other 24%, i.e. go into the Bs or more junk categories. Then it will be much easier to sustain that AAA rating. Now, there are some variables now that are starting to factor into our consideration here. One is that if ultimately the Treasury Department stays downgraded to a AA rating, and therefore they issue only AA rated kinds of instruments, it's going to make it hard to buy AAA rated instruments if there aren't any. So I think we'll have to be ready for that circumstance when it comes up. But we've got a good blend, I think, of conservative corporates and mostly governments in our portfolio.
I read your investment policy statement, which I thought was very interesting because I believe it allows the longest duration of any asset that you hold to be about 5 years.
Correct.
Looking at your portfolio, I think the average duration of all assets was around 240-something days, call it 8 months. And I think the longest thing you had in there was maybe just over 3 years, 11 or 1,200 days. But you've got a very, precisely worded and thorough investment policy statement. Can you talk about why that is, what the rationale behind that is?
Absolutely. And I think for the benefit of your listeners, we can kind of do a flashback to 1994 and the largest bankruptcy in the history of municipalities in the country was Orange County. That spawned a whole look, a big look, statewide at how counties manage their monies in investment pools. Remember, we have about 110 public agencies that put money into our investment pools, not just the county. 42 public school districts, 5 community college districts, water authorities, fire districts, airport authority, any number of agencies invest in our pool. So we have to keep these clients happy too, and the reason they're there is because of our conservative approach. The laws were changed to say every county needs to have its own investment policy statement. Very good management. And really, this is an extension of what everybody should do. Anybody who invests any money ought to have a game plan, ought to have an investment policy statement that they stand by, stick with, and really work. And in our case, we're no different. So we adopted this investment policy statement. The way we are structured, though, we also have another set of eyes, which is called our Pool Oversight Committee. And that is appointed in combination between the Board of Supervisors, our office, and then there are several public members that sit on this board. And they also meet with us quarterly to review what it is we do, just to make sure that we're doing things the right way. Once a year, then, we do redline versions of our investment policy statement. We go back to the Board of Supervisors in December of every year so that for the new year, we have a brand new investment policy statement that's fully updated and incorporates any of the changes or nuances that are out there in the investment world that we need to have in that policy.
And so let me ask you a question that maybe is a little bit political, and if you don't want to answer it, that's okay. You also sit on the County Retirement Committee, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a couple of guests on this show who've talked about the challenges associated with, well, both public and pension, both public and private pensions. That is to say, in many, many cases, municipalities, as well as for-profit businesses, there's serious shortfalls in terms of pension obligations that you might say are due to future retirees, because during the boom years, people maybe stopped funding and planned on huge growth to continue, and it didn't happen. I noticed with the county retirement system, your investment policy statement is also, well, it's not exactly the same as the assets you have under management, but it's much different, for example, than the city of San Diego's experience. It seems to be in much better shape. Can you talk briefly about how your role as the assessor crosses over to what you're doing to assist with this pension, the county pension?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. Under law, the county treasurer in 20 out of 58 counties serves as an ex officio member on the board of retirement for their respective retirement system. It's called a 37 Act system because our county had this go into effect in 1937, passed by the legislature. So we're a 37 Act county. It's a 9-member board. 4 members are appointed by the Board of Supervisors. 4 members are stakeholder groups that elect people to serve, public safety, general membership, retirees, to serve on that board. And then the treasurer tax collector also sits on the board. I think we have a very strong board, a very good board. We have a great chair, Dave Myers, who is with the Sheriff's Department. Very savvy guy, very, very supportive of teamwork and trying to make things work very well. We have a good management team at the county retirement system with a good track record, I think, of producing good results, even sometimes in down markets, mm-hmm. When compared with other situations. There are always issues out there. What you alluded to earlier was the actuarial liability that all of these pension funds have to make sure that the objectives of providing retirement monies are achieved so that everybody in the system now will receive a retirement check until the day they die.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, the paramount responsibility of a pension system like ours.
Not to mention healthcare, right?
Well, I made a comment on a show last year where I got a couple of negative emails from people where I said, I was referring to the city of San Diego, where I said, I think certain people on the committee thought it was their job to try to beat certain benchmarks as opposed to it being their job trying to make 100% sure that the pensions that were scheduled to be paid out actually got paid out. And some people took offense to that. But I guess sometimes the truth hurts. It's good to know the county doesn't have that problem.
Well, I think the county is well managed again. And I think they've really focused on making sure that that pension system is as funded as it needs to be and that we continue to deliver the results that we need to deliver.
When we had that economic downturn in 07, 08, how did that affect the county's budget? Though you guys must have taken somewhat of a hit, right?
I think everybody took a hit.
Yeah.
And I think that when you talk about mid to high 20s, mm-hmm. That was about the norm for declines in some of these major investment portfolios, mm-hmm. some a little less, some a little more. But I think we have really bounced back nicely, mm-hmm. And we've recaptured much of the assets that we dropped during that time. Mm-hmm. So I feel good about that. The county does continually make its payments and more. Over the last 10 years, they have contributed actually more than the average, than the annual required contribution, the mm-hmm. ARC, it's called, mm-hmm. Requires. And I think that's to the county's credit.
And then you had mentioned at the break about the DeMaio plan with this 401k, and you issued some kind of warnings about the 401k, and that the city already does have a 401k in plan.
I think it's kind of intriguing that the city, since 1984, has had a 401k plan in addition to their other what are called deferred comp or defined contribution plans that employees can participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just strikes me as kind of panacea-like mm-hmm. to let people think that if they just vote for this pension reform initiative, all the problems are going to disappear. I'm not sure that's true. Okay. And I think that those liabilities are still going to be in play.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to have to fund it every year. And that's in perpetuity, really, mm-hmm. or at least until every one of the people currently in the system gets through that system.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is City put a really good leader in place, Herb Morgan, for SERS, S-E-R-S, its pension board. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Herb is a terrific guy.
And of course, we'll have new leadership in the city, too. I don't know if that'll be good or bad. Remains to be seen who gets elected. Joe, we ought to have all the candidates on our show at some point. That would be fun.
Well, one at a time. I don't think.
No, I don't mean all at once. Goodness sakes.
Not all at once, good. Please.
Have to have armed guards.
That would be mayhem.
I'm all for that.
You're all for mayhem? Okay.
No, I'm all for having the candidates one at a time.
Well, and I think, Richard, you hit on an interesting kind of a sub or a, really an overriding topic here, and that is, what does the city end up with at the end of this mayor's race? Is it a person who has vision, has leadership, and has the will to make some changes that are necessary to get done, mm-hmm. or is it really sort of business as usual? I think the city deserves to have a very visionary person, somebody who's got energy, and somebody who can infuse new ideas into our yeah. thinking.
What did you think of that strong mayor form that we passed recently? When you have a mayor of one party or political persuasion and the majority of the city council another, it could just create a lot of gridlock, right?
Well, it's almost as if we're still in transition. The old style was a city manager form of governance, and the city manager was the one that really had to keep, at any one time, five city council members happy to keep his or her job. But now the mayor is where the buck stops for all projects. And in a way, I think that's an excellent opportunity to shift the way we govern in San Diego. Yeah. There were some things, and there still are things, that pop up every once in a while, which are shortcomings of that system. Okay. But I think they'll try to remedy those in the next year.
We'll get more into that. We have to take a little break right now, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money Not Theirs after this short announcement.
In talk radio, Mike Slater.
I have a feeling that you're a Slater Crusader.
Glenn Beck.
A leader will remind people who they are.
Sean Hannity.
Conservatism is literally our path to prosperity and success.
Roger Hedgecock.
There's now two classes of people in this state. One class has to obey the law, and the second class doesn't have to obey any of the laws.
Mark Levin.
I don't care if you've been listening to talk radio since 5 this morning. Stick with me.
Follow them here. San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Are you trying to figure out what type of car, SUV, or crossover to buy? Hi, this is Dave Grunstrom, CEO of Marvin K. Brown Auto Center. I'm constantly being asked about hybrids, plug-ins, etc. That's one of the many great qualities of a dealership like ours that has so many different choices. In fact, we're pleased to announce a new brand of the San Diego area, the Fisker Karma plug-in electric with extended range and zero range anxiety.
Hi, this is Jennifer Brown, and we are so excited to be the exclusive Fisker dealer in San Diego. We have our first Karma on its way here, and in fact, it'll be here any day. It's a beautifully styled car with looks similar to other exotic sports cars that will go about 50 miles using zero gas, and the option to go as far as you want with the gas generator charging the batteries while you drive.
So remember, if you want a dealership that has many types of vehicles to choose from in one location, that's Marvin K. Brown. Call us at 1-800-640-0204. That's 1-800-640-0204. Look to Marvin K. Brown Auto Center in the heart of Mission Valley Auto Circle or at mkb.com.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostick, president of Right Size Smoothies, and when I heard that, I was shocked, because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-933-9552. And now I've made my smoothies even better, because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-933-9552. That's 1-800-933-9552.
Marichal Design and Remodeling clients talk about their amazing home remodels.
And I'm really happy with the job that Marichal did. It's not just beautiful, it's stunningly beautiful.
I even got a thank you note from one of the neighbors saying thank you for renovating your house and, you know, upgrading our neighborhood.
The transformation has been nothing short of a miracle. We call it a Marichal.
Marichal Design and Remodeling. Call 619-441-9300 or log on to trustyourhometous.com.
Get in the zone!
Putting off auto repairs can turn a small job into a big one. So put your tax refund to work today at AutoZone. From brakes to engines, we've got the quality parts you need. And you can count on AutoZone's trusted experts to help you stretch those tax refund dollars as far as possible. Spend a little today instead of a lot later. Keep your car running longer with help from AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
Follow Glenn Beck. Tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Oh, that is right. That is Columbo. Welcome back. I used to like Peter Falk. I got to meet him once. He was at Claire de Lune's when, believe it or not, Rod Luck interviewed him before he went off the air. But in any case, we're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. And we have a few minutes left. This is a great show. And back to Richard and Dan.
So, Dan, question. I noticed your forms are easier to read. You guys have obviously made some efforts on customer service readability being, shall we say, easier to understand in terms of the material that you put forth to consumers.
You're absolutely right. The biggest thing I heard about when I first got into office was the lousy forms that were called the tax bills that came out from our office every year. People said they couldn't read them, they didn't flow well, they didn't make sense, they were ugly. I mean, any insult you could imagine they had for me when I went out to meet people in the community.
The envelopes that we put the money in were too small.
So what we decided to do collectively, really in the office, was to actually go out and sort of hold focus groups with community taxpayers. And I met with about 2,000 to 3,000 people over about a 6 or 8 month period, north, south, east, west, central, wow, San Diego County, just asking for people to help me mark up these old tax bill models with suggestions on how to make a more readable, friendlier, happier, nicer, mm-hmm, prettier tax bill. Mm-hmm. And they came up with some great ideas. And I will tell you, and just share this one because of our coaching background, I thought before I would float this idea to adults, it might be good to run it by some fifth graders. So I went back to my old fifth grade class room at Kate Sessions Elementary in Pacific Beach. And I tell you, we did some basic math problems on figuring taxes up. Kids knew the answers right away. It was really heartening to see these public school kids doing so well. And it really reinforced in me that this is our future and we need to pay more attention to them. There's no question. But I said that I was there on a special mission that day to help to provide a friendlier, happier, gentler, kinder, nicer, softer approach to tax bills. And a little girl raised her hand and told me puppies was my answer. I said, how can puppies work in concert with tax bills? And she said, simple. They're everything you just said. Puppies are soft and friendly and nice and pretty. Have you ever thought of putting the images of puppies on the tax bill so at least when people open them, they'd smile and be happier to get them?
That's a good idea. But beyond that,
did you put some puppies?
We did not do the puppies.
No, there's no puppies, Joe. But here's my point. You were talking about that auction on Feb 24, Joe. The county also offers people redemption now. If you're on that delinquent list and you pay, you're considered to be redeemed.
Right.
So it's nice that you can actually achieve redemption. But so I'm a CPA down in the trenches working with people every day, and there's two things I want to talk about.
Sure.
The first is business property taxes. The county also assesses and collects tax on boats and airplanes, but also on business property. And one of the hardest forms for business people to read is the business property tax form. And a lot of new businesses, they're confused by it. That is to say, you go into business, you know, you're renting some property, so you know there's evidence that you exist at some street address where you're renting, and you get this form in the mail that I think is due on April 1st every year that says you have to pay based on the value of your furniture and equipment and computers and so on. A lot of businesses are thoroughly confused by that.
Possessory interest, I think, is what they label it.
That's what they label it. It's
the assessor's office that makes those assessments. And remember, our job is to bill them, collect them, and invest them.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Ernie Dronenberg question mm-hmm. and an issue, but it's something they do, and it's something that is due and payable once the bills go out. We do assess airplanes. We do assess boats, mobile homes. I mean, anything that moves that's purchasable, we assess in mm-hmm. some way at the County of San Diego, and then we collect the taxes for them.
We'll have to get Ernie on to talk about the business property tax.
He's an outstanding guy.
Yeah, you know, I've heard him speak before. He actually does a great job.
But I think the whole notion of supplemental tax bills that you had asked about earlier and mentioned here a little bit briefly is something that befuddles a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And in short, it's sad to say, but if the stars are perfectly aligned on the day you close escrow, and it happens to hit right in the midpoint of the year when all taxes are sort of assessed, paid, taken care of, you might get lucky and not get a supplemental assessment.
Right, because the county's fiscal year is July 1 to
correct.